Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch for the rest of 2020. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Now here's Marcus Mosher and Gino Camilleri on this crossover edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Cowboys.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back. It's another Locked On crossover edition of the podcast. I am here with Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles to talk about this big matchup between the Cowboys and the Eagles on Sunday afternoon. Doesn't get any better than this. Oh, wait. Yes, it does, because these two teams stink. Gino, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing okay, man. I mean, the thing is, these two teams record-wise definitely do stink, but I hope you're at the point you are that I'm at with the Eagles and how you are with the Cowboys, and that I'm at the point of just evaluating as much talent as possible. So I saw CeeDee Lamb doing some good things for the Cowboys last week, so that's huge to see. There's some exciting young guys here in Philly. Michael Jaquette, he's an undrafted free agent, was covering DeAndre Hopkins one-on-one last week and did a pretty decent job. Jalen Hurts, man, the name everybody wants to see is exciting. I had to start with a little curveball, not go right to Jalen Hurts. But
let's do that. Can we jump into that conversation right now?
So for sure, let's get after it.
We're through 2 weeks of the Jalen Hurts experience as a starter in Philadelphia. 1-1 looked pretty good against the Arizona Cardinals last week. What's the feeling right now in the Eagles fan base about Jalen Hurts? Is he like the next franchise quarterback? Are people still a little pessimistic? Give me the scoop on Jalen.
Yeah, so I've kind of removed myself from like the Twitter sphere of the whole thing and kind of been taken in like just from a 30,000 foot view how people have been reacting to everything.
And kudos to you for being able to do that.
Oh man, I know it was tough, but hey, sometimes you gotta do what's right for your mental health, and I urge everybody to do the same if you need to go that path. So on another note, looking at it from 30,000 foot view, I think people are kind of torn between. It's two different discussions right now. It's where do we go with Wentz, and then is Hurts the guy? Because I think you're in that category of not having two quarterbacks is not having any quarterback, basically. But I disagree with that sentiment in that you now have two paths forward. And I mentioned this to Lou the other day. And you've seen a guy in Carson Wentz who has four pretty good years put together, one MVP-esque year in 2017. And can you build with him? Or do you have this young, high-quality player in Jalen Hurts who, just from what I've seen and what the national media is saying about him, for once, they're saying that Jalen Hurts, this kid, could be the guy in Philly, and just from what he's done in the last couple weeks, he looks like a 10-year veteran, how he's commanding the offense, how he's been able to play under pressure. He's gone up against two top 10 defenses the last 2 weeks, and then not to mention what he did against Green Bay, the half that he played the week prior. He's done some good things, so you still have two more weeks, and you had two pretty good competitors in the Saints and going out and getting a win against them and then going out and almost beating a must-win Arizona team. Now you're going against two teams that also must win in Dallas and Washington. So he's been playing basically playoff football for 2.5 weeks here. So you've been able to evaluate his talent. You've been able to evaluate a lot of the talent around him. If anybody's got to be smiling right now, it's got to be Howie Roseman saying that, hey, maybe using that 53rd overall pick for the future of the franchise and quote unquote being that quarterback factory like you wanted to be was for the betterment of the team. And now that you go back and look at all this evidence that you have, maybe they've been trying to plan life without Carson more than what we've seen. And I truly think that Jalen Hurts has a chance to be the guy in 2021. But I still think there's a chance that they might want to repair things with Wentz. If you have a top 10 pick and you're able to get Devonta Smith or, Jamar Chase, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I want to cross my fingers on Ja'Marr Chase if we get that high, but I think Devonta Smith is a good number two if you were to get there. But I would love a franchise-changing player like that with Jalen Reagor and Miles Sanders, and you're seeing young, explosive athletes for once on this Eagles team for the first time in 3 years, and it starts at the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts has been a breath of fresh air. He's been something that we haven't seen since, I mean, the days of Michael Vick, where you can just create outside of structure, and it's kind of one of those building blocks of being a quarterback here in Philly. Look back to the days of Randall Cunningham, an elite athlete, somebody who can create outside of structure, has an explosive arm, hits when he needs to down the field. You look to the years of Donovan McNabb, the same type of thing. Michael Vick, even the early years of Wentz before he had that knee injury. Now Jalen Hurts is really showing you what has to be at the quarterback position in the year 2020. Look at the elite quarterbacks right now. You look at what Josh Allen is doing in Buffalo. You look at what a young Kyler Murray is doing. Lamar Jackson. All of these guys are elite athletes. I mean, even in Dallas, what Dak Prescott was doing. He is an elite athlete at the quarterback position, forcing teams to play 11-on-11 football. And when you have freak athletes on the defensive side of the ball, like going against Isaiah Simmons last week or any of the Saints defenders the week before that, you have to truly be an 11-on-11, a basketball-style team where you can win matchups all over the field. And Jalen really brings that, because we know Doug didn't want Carson to get outside of the pocket, mainly because he didn't want him to get injured again. Now with Jalen, with a 14th different combination at the offensive line in 15 different weeks, you need somebody like Jalen Hurts at the quarterback position, and you need a guy like Miles Sanders to complement him, and you need to get him in rhythm, which you have been doing the last 2 weeks. And I think you've seen a lot out of Doug Peterson and what they can do building a team and getting guys ready to go with backup quarterbacks. They have a track record now. Sure. I mean, their record is like 750 right now. They're like 11-3 with backup quarterbacks, and that's including the Super Bowl. So there's something to say to that. So it's a lot of confusion. It's a lot to take in. I wanted to boil it down as simple as I possibly could. And
hear the excitement in your voice. I mean, you've been waiting for this for a while. I can tell.
Yeah, as much as I love Carson Wentz, my dog's name is Carson, for goodness sake. Like, I love the guy. I think he's an absolute stud at the position when he is in the right offense. I think the talks about him going to Indianapolis scare the living daylights out of me for what they could do and kind of rebirthing his career. But, man, you have to take what Jalen has done, not just in these last couple weeks, but go back to his college days, Marcus, and what he did at Alabama, going from that pro-style offense, learning that offense, becoming an efficient passer, an efficient enough passer for Lincoln Riley to come calling and say, hey, I really think you could be a 70% passer in my offense, which he was. And now he comes back to another pro-style offense. So he has learned three different schemes in the last 3 years and picked them up very well and been through the whole Tua saga where he was benched. He comes back in the SEC championship game. He is a winner. I always mention on my show when I went down to the Senior Bowl last year how highly people in Alabama talk about Jalen Hurts. He truly was like – it was him and Nick Saban were truly the most – two talked about individuals, and he wasn't even at Alabama at the time. He was at Oklahoma. So that just goes to show you how beloved he is, how true he is to a true franchise quarterback and everything you want. What people say about him, what the teammates say about him, what the media has been saying about him, what I think we say on Locked On Eagles is definitely true. He is what you want in your rookie quarterback right now, and truly what I would want leading my franchise going forward. Even if he's not a top 10 guy, if you have a top 10 offense around him and you have skilled players like Jalen Reagor and Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert will probably be there for a while, and Quez Watkins showed explosiveness last week, you can make things happen with that type of guy. And I said his floor is almost like Alex Smith. Like, if you can get him to the playoffs, I think you can win some games with this kid.
I'm going to do my best in a little bit to try to match your enthusiasm for Andy Dalton for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, but
discrepancy there.
I mean, listen, it's an exciting time for Eagles fans. You got this young quarterback who's making plays with outside the pocket with his legs. He's converting third downs. He's overcoming a bad offensive line. I get it. There's a lot to be excited about, but Come on, calm down, Eagles fans. You got a long ways to go. That's all. That's all I want to say.
Totally. Yeah. No. I'll play the devil's advocate if you want me to. He definitely has fumbling concerns. He hasn't thrown over the middle of the field enough.
The arm isn't great. I mean, it's good. I don't think it's great.
He knows when to take his shots. That's the thing with him. He's not like Wentz where he's going to throw 10 balls downfield a game. Like, he's going to be very selective, and you saw that. It was against New Orleans, that shot to Jalen Reagor. They were setting it up all game with a little keeper option, and then they finally rolled him outside on the bootleg and got him, and he missed him by about a foot and a half. But I think they're continuing to put more faith in him week over week, and you've seen that just from the two quarters he was there in Green Bay to the next game in New Orleans to this last game against Arizona. Lou and I were both saying, we know what he can do with his legs. Everybody does. That's what everybody knew he was going to do coming into that game. Can he win you a game going up against Kyler Murray in that explosive offense? And he was right there. I mean, even with an underrated offensive line, even with an undermanned, I still think it's an undermanned unit at the skill player position. I think Zach Ertz is at his least efficient he's ever been in his career. Alshon Jeffery is still, why is he playing on this offense?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know, but he's still doing things that elevate the guys around him, and you're seeing that. And we always talk about on our show, are you a player you win because of, or are you a player that you just win with? And I think Jalen has shown flashes of you can win games because of this kid. Look at that run he had in the end zone, running over Buda Baker. Like, that's a big man play.
Sure.
And that instills confidence not just in him. That instills confidence in the offensive line, even when they're bruised and battered. And it instills offense in your coaching staff and things that we've been begging for 14 weeks here in Philly. Like, we knew the season was over. We knew. Like, this was not a very promising team. We were at the point of what's next for this club? What's next for this team that's going to be cap-strapped for so long? Maybe they do have to make a move at that quarterback position and go cheaper there. Maybe they have to get out from a lot of these big contracts. Some of these guys we thought would be around for a couple more Super Bowl runs. Unfortunately, things didn't go as planned. We're on the bottom end of this roster. We need to turn things around. And the quarterback position, you've seen so many teams be in purgatory there. So I do not blame Howie for drafting somebody who he thought was special at that position. And I still think they should draft another quarterback this year. Not maybe in the first or second round, but definitely later on, because you should be always looking to hit on quarterbacks. Correct.
It's the most important position. You always have to invest in it. And as we saw already this year with Philadelphia, that pick, you know, taking Jalen Hurts with the 52nd pick is already paying dividends. I mean, I've got a lot of questions to ask you, Gino, but we're actually going to switch over. You're going to ask me some questions about the Cowboys, and I'll do my best to match your enthusiasm when we get back.
Hey guys, Louis DiBiase here, interrupting Gino and Marcus just for 1 minute to tell you about our sponsors over at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones you might not have heard of yet. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. Put aside that bag of chips, that candy bar, for a Built Bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories in every bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on back to this segment of the Locked On crossover. It's going to be Wednesday or Thursday here, a very holiday edition, a very special, important game in the NFC East between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And we're not talking about some of those big time matchups where we've seen an 11 or 12 win Eagles and Dallas team going up to win the division. We're talking about a 4-5 win team. One of the teams has a tie, which was to the Cincinnati Bengals. Marcus, this game, man, oh man, I don't know how anybody outside of Philadelphia and Dallas is excited for this, but everybody inside, I know this is going to be a fun game as always.
I mean, you're more optimistic than I am. I've had to watch this Cowboys team for now, what, 14 weeks now? That would third, I don't know, third, yeah, 14 games. Mm-hmm. And it's not been fun. I'm not enjoying the Andy Dalton experience, Gino. I will tell you that. We just got done talking about Jalen Hurts. This is not fun, especially when you go from Dak to Andy Dalton. Not great. But again, weirdly enough, this game does have some playoff implications. It also has some pretty important draft implications as well, because the loser of this game is going to be drafting inside probably the top I don't know, top six, maybe the top seven. And with this class being as interesting as it is, it's an important game. So I think we're looking forward to it. I'm not sure the national media is.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really is. And I haven't seen who they're put. I don't think they put it out until tomorrow, who there is on the announcing staff of that one. But
I
that
can't
was like
imagine
last...
this is the top game for anybody.
No, honestly, but we had Aqib Talib last week. Honestly, it was incredible. I thought he was a very good color commentator. But going back to this week's matchup, you talk about the quarterback position. I think we're at two opposite ends of the spectrum on evaluating where our quarterbacks stand right now. But I'm at the evaluation and the youth movement in Philadelphia. I was excited to see a guy like Tony Pollard get some play last week. Where else on this offense and this defense are you seeing young guys make plays where, hey, sometimes injuries are a little – it's a double-edged sword. You do lose a guy of importance, but you also get to evaluate some young talent. So let me know what's going on in Dallas just outside of Tony Pollard, somebody who both you and I have loved ever since he came out of Memphis.
Yeah, Tony Pollard's really interesting, although I think my listeners get really tired when I talk about Tony Pollard because I talk all the time about running backs not mattering and all that kind of stuff and why the Cowboys made a mistake with Zeke, that anytime Tony Pollard has a big day – a big play, it's the first thing I talk about on the podcast or a post on Twitter. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on him. There is some other guys I want to talk about. Dalton Schultz, the tight end, hasn't been anything fantastic this season, but with Blake Jarwin going down in week one, the Cowboys really needed Schultz to continue to step up and develop. And he's done just that. He has far better numbers than Evan Ingram, who happened to make the Pro Bowl. Still a little bitter about that. I don't know why. I don't know who's voting Evan Ingram into the Pro Bowl. But Schultz has played well. He's really developed as a blocker, a pretty functional receiver. So Cowboy fans are really excited about what Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz can do next year as a tight end combination. And then on defense, Donovan Wilson, a safety from Texas A&M. He's been a little bit banged up early in his career, but we're starting to see him make plays. Last week against the 49ers, he had an interception. He was coming up in the box, and he was just destroying the 49ers run game. Not perfect. You can expose him a little bit in coverage, but just an interesting player on a defense that doesn't have very many of those at this stage in the season.
So we all know the threat that Jalen Hurts presents, and he's obviously going to use his legs. For those Eagles fans who may have not seen Dallas go against some of those mobile quarterbacks, what has it been like for Dallas in those games? Has it been we're running for the hills trying to catch him, or is it they've been able to keep contain on him? What's it been like, Marcus?
It's been bad.
I don't know. That's good for us.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have there are three big linebackers. Jalen Smith can't change directions. Leighton Vander Esch has missed so many tackles this year and is just he's lost all of his confidence. He will not play in this game due to an ankle injury. And Sean Lee, who everybody talks about his instincts and, you know, he has a future in coaching, looks like a coach on the field right now. I mean, he literally looks like Mike McCarthy, you know, out on the field right now. He's just completely washed. So the Cowboys are going to have they're going to have a lot of trouble stopping Jalen Hurts, just like they did Russell Wilson early in the year, Lamar Jackson just a few weeks ago. It's not where they're going to win. But Gene, I do think the Cowboys have some matchups they can win. DeMarcus Lawrence continues to be an absolute superstar. Philadelphia's offensive line, as you know, has been pretty bad this year. They've been ravaged by injuries. I think Alden Smith is playing well. Randy Gregory is really starting to step up. So if those edge rushers can get some pressure on Jalen Hurts and convert some of those pressures into sacks, maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to slow down this offense.
I was just going to say that is the one X factor in this game that really frightens me. We have no idea what we're going to do at the right tackle position. We're down to our fifth or sixth option there. There's a talk that we might play Prince Teo Onogo, who is a draft pick out of Auburn, who should have been higher draft pick than he was, but due to knee concerns, he fell to the sixth round. But man, that just scares the daylights out of me. I am glad that it's Jalen Hurts back there rather than Carson Wentz, who would probably take six or seven sacks in this game. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Remember, Wentz did not play well at all when they played the Cowboys earlier this season. Just kept throwing YOLO balls down the field, and Trevon Diggs had a couple of interceptions. So yeah, I'm sure the Cowboys are wishing Wentz was playing in this game, because they've had a lot of success against him in the past.
And that's one thing that I don't think you'll see, is just balls going over the middle, because they really haven't game planned for Jalen Hurts to throw balls over the middle. So on the outside, we saw Trevon Diggs have some success against the Eagles the last time. Do you have a lot of confidence in those matchups this go around? Jalen Reagor is back. They have Quez Watkins, who's back out there. They're both athletic individuals on the edge, and they've been able to make guys miss. So is that one of the matchups you're excited for on the edge? Because I think we're going to see probably the future of a star wide receiver in Philadelphia and Reagor, and a star cover corner in Trevon Diggs. And I really think that's going to be fun for many years to come.
Yeah, Diggs just came back from a broken foot last week. Played all right. Wasn't too bad. You could definitely tell he was a little rusty. Mm-hmm. The same happened for Chidobe Awuzie coming back from an injury. So the Cowboys are actually pretty healthy in the secondary right now. So that'll be a good test. Alshon Jeffrey is not somebody who's had a lot of success against the Cowboys. Now, DeSean Jackson has, but I don't believe he's going to play in this game. But I agree. Diggs and Reagor is an interesting matchup, because Diggs does not have a lot of long speed, mm-hmm. but he has outstanding size and ball skills, and Reagor does have that long speed. He can go down the field. He can make plays, but can he run routes well enough? Can he, can he deal with, press coverage at the line of scrimmage? This will be a fun one to watch. I'm excited for it.
I am too, and definitely on the flip side of that, I'm excited to see what a young Michael Jacquet can do this week against three very good receivers. And he had a tough task taking on DeAndre Hopkins last week, but hopefully we should get Darius Slay back for this game, as he is out of the concussion protocol. That would probably do a little bit better for the people that favor the under in this game, as I expect it to be a shootout. I don't know about you, Marcus, but I'm expecting whatever the over is for people to be hammering it. I'm expecting this to be an offense-heavy game, because I simply don't trust our pass defense to put two games together back-to-back weeks. I think Tony Pollard will present some fits in the run game if he can get outside of contain, which the Eagles are not very good at. When this game ends, I ultimately don't think Philadelphia wins, because I think even with Dalton, I think your wide receivers just simply – they're not going to be able to handle that much firepower in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, the Cowboys had a shot with Ben DiNucci playing quarterback the last time in Philadelphia to win that game, on the last possession. Then he had a fumble that turned into a Philadelphia touchdown, and the score actually looks worse than what the game was. Mm-hmm. They did a pretty good job of staying in that one. So I am actually going to disagree with you a little bit. I think this is going to be a lower-scoring game, just because – because it does have playoff implications. I wouldn't be surprised if these teams come out a little tight. I would be kind of surprised if the offensive lines held up. Both teams are really dealing with some injuries at tackle. We know how good Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are. The same goes for Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence. So I'm looking at like a 20-17 type of game in Dallas.
Okay. And see, I disagree with the offensive line take, simply because I don't trust our running game right now, because we can't make a hole anywhere. So we're just going to get the ball out and try and throw downfield. But we'll see. That's what I'm hoping for. I hope it doesn't come down to Jalen Hurts having to use his legs. I hope it's a more wide open matchup for the Eagles offense. And
can I ask one question before we go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Are Eagle fans, are they at the point of the season where they want them to win and try to make the playoffs, no, or are they on the team tank?
I'm actively team Jamar Chase, 100%.
Okay, so I think, again, people get this misconstrued on Twitter. We're not saying that the players shouldn't go out and try to win. We're saying this as fans. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see them lose these rather meaningless games, yep, because it's the fastest way to get them back to having a chance to win the Super Bowl, right? Just because they make the playoffs doesn't mean anything. But for the Eagles, for example, if it's the difference in drafting 6 or 19, you're going to get a pretty different caliber of player there.
Yeah, I definitely think that one has helped Doug Peterson's effort maintain his job, and two kind of hurt Howie Roseman, because they've crawled their way into the playoffs the last 2 years, and those rosters that were bandaged together, simply they overcame a lot of things that really masked a lot of the issues that they had in terms of personnel. So it's 100% right, Marcus, and I would kind of steer your fans towards that direction as well, saying that you don't want to be in the middle, you don't want to be in mediocrity, you want to be picking towards the top just for 1 or 2 years so you can turn around and not be at the top for the next 10. And that's one of the things that Lou and I talked about since they picked Lane Johnson in 2012 or 13. They hadn't had a top 10 draft pick since Donovan McNabb, if I'm not mistaken. So it just goes to show you that when you're in a class like this and when you're in these games, it is good to compete like the Eagles did against Arizona last week. But hey, if a team that needs a playoff victory like Arizona overcomes you in the fourth quarter, it's okay because you were able to evaluate talent. Much like this week, we're always able to evaluate talent, especially because you draft to beat your division. These games are never meaningless, but man, if we come out with an L after this one, I'll be smiling more than if we get a win. I'll say that, Marcus.
Yeah, and I'm probably the same. And actually, it might depend on what happens in that Washington game, because if Washington happens to fall to Carolina, it would be at least a little bit exciting to have a playoff game. And the NFC feels a little weak this year. I don't think the Cowboys are going to compete in the NFC, obviously. But could they potentially sneak out a wild card win if things went crazy? Potentially. I'm not sure that helps you build long term or anything. But it should be a fascinating week, Gino. I'm excited. Good luck this weekend, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Marcus. Good luck to you guys, too. And let's hope it's a fun game, because I don't want to be the NFC least for much longer. I want this to be a good division moving forward. No more 6-win teams moving this division. We need 12 and 13 win teams getting that one seed, getting the bye, and making it to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Let's get the NFC East back to the best division of football.
Absolutely. Have a good one, Marcus.